I'd like you to turn with me, if you would, to the book of 2 Corinthians chapter 3. 2 Corinthians chapter 3 and verse number 5. I'm just going to use one scripture verse as my text today. And it is verse number 5. I'd like to preach on Our Sufficiency is of God, a message that has blessed my heart, and I would like to share this with you. The Bible says here, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God." Our sufficiency is of God. One other verse that ties with that, if now you go to chapter 9 of 2 Corinthians, chapter 9, verse number 8. The Bible says here, "And God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work." Let's pray together. Now, Father, we thank you for this opportunity to consider what your word teaches. We're thankful that, all sufficiency is found in Jesus Christ. Our sufficiency is of God. And I pray, Lord, that you'd help us to learn what that meaneth and then to be able to apply it to our lives. I pray that you'd bless your people and encourage them now today. I pray that you'd help me to preach your word. I pray, Lord, that you'd be with your people everywhere where the word of God is preached, where Jesus Christ is exalted. And I pray that today, Lord, many souls would hear the gospel and come to know the Lord Jesus Christ. I pray that also today your people would be encouraged and find their sufficiency in you. We ask this now in Jesus' name. Amen. I want to ask you a couple of questions before we look at this verse line by line here. Do you sometimes feel weak, lonely, perhaps empty, feeling that your needs are not met or you feel unfulfilled? I think we'd have to say yes, because that is part of our human experience. And then, do you sometimes feel that you are doing the wrong things habitually? That you want to do what's right, but you find yourself failing time and time again? How can you overcome this besetting sin? How can you overcome these habitual habits? How can you feel truly satisfied and fulfilled? Well, the answer is the Lord Jesus Christ. He is our sufficiency. Now, I want you to note here, as we think about Jesus Christ and Him being all sufficient, that first of all, we are insufficient. God has purposely made us, matter of fact, insufficient. Verse number 5 of 2 Corinthians chapter 3, it says, "Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves." Think about this. God has made us. He's made us with amazing potential and possibility and powers. He has made us with a body that is amazing. Now, we take our bodies for granted until we get sick, until something doesn't work the way that it's supposed to. We just read the missionary letter, and she was saying, "My heart hasn't been working right." You probably never take for granted your heart until it doesn't work right. And then your organs. Just recently, there was a man in the hospital with his pancreas not working right and on death's door. Do you even know what your pancreas does? let alone, is it working right or not working right? and all the amazing things. And then God has given us a mind that can reason, a mind that can remember, a mind that can think. And then he's given us a will, the power of choice. We have the ability to choose evil or to choose good. We have the ability to decide to worship God and serve God or not to serve God. And he's made us amazing. He's made us in his image with these potential and powers. And yet, all the things that God has made us with and given us the abilities to do, that is not enough. We still need something else because we lack. Our sufficiency is found in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, when we think of sufficiency, what is sufficiency? Well, even though I know the basic meaning of words, whenever I do a lesson or prepare a message, I like to go to the dictionary. I find looking at that word as it's defined, just like Pastor Paul did this morning, as he defined it, worship, it kind of is seeing the word in color rather than just black and white. You see all the possibilities, the nuances. And so I looked up the word sufficiency. I like to see what Noah Webster says. If you don't have Noah Webster's 1828 dictionary, you ought to get it. He was a Bible believer, a Christian, and oftentimes he would define words with biblical terms and use scripture verses. Actually, there's so much Bible in Noah's Webster's dictionary, you could almost have your devotions just read in the dictionary. And it's a wealth of information. Now, this is what he says about sufficiency. Noah Webster can be very verbose. He can be very articulate. But he said this, one word, enough. Sufficiency is enough. Think of it. That's very profound. If you are sufficient, you are enough, or you have enough. And so if our sufficiency is of God, then God is enough for us. He goes on with other thoughts on the word sufficiency, but he says enough, equal to the needs or wants. Do you have a need? Do you have a want? Then God is equal to that need. He supplies all of our wants. Now, actually, the Lord goes beyond just enough, just supplying our needs. He causes us to abound. To abound is more than sufficient. It's full and running over. Now, why has God made us insufficient of ourselves? Look at verse number 5 again. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves. God has purposely designed that we would not be sufficient in ourselves. Why? So that we would be dependent upon Him. If we were totally self-sufficient, we would have no need of God. Why would we need to pray? Why would we need to ask God for His help? Why would we need to seek the Lord for comfort, for strength, for encouragement, if we were sufficient in ourselves? So God has made us purposefully insufficient so that we would look to the Lord Jesus Christ. You're in chapter 3. Look at chapter 4 of 2 Corinthians and verse number 7. But we have this treasure in earthen vessels, that the excellency of the power may be of God and not of us. And so God has given us these things, but that the power might be of God and not of us. He has made us so that we would be dependent upon him. Now, when we think of somebody or something being self-sufficient or totally sufficient in themselves, only God is self-sufficient. He has that quality. He has that attribute. His name, Jehovah, means the self-existent one who reveals himself. That is his holy name. He has been not created, but rather he is the creator of everything. God exists, and he has always existed. He is self-sufficient. Not only is he self-sufficient or self-existent, but he is self-sufficient. He needs nothing. A lot of times we try to humanize God and think that, well, God made us because he was lonely. Or God needs us because he has some lack. Did you know that God does not need us? Now, God wants us, but he does not need us. He does not lack. We do not take and make up something that God does not have. I'll show this to you. Go with me to Acts chapter 17, verse 25. Paul is speaking to the Athenians. He's introducing the true God to these idol worshipers. They've been worshiping the unknown God. And Acts 17 and verse number 25, this is what Paul says to the Athenians concerning God. Neither is worshipped with men's hands as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things. He says, God does not need anything. Rather, he gives to us everything. And then note furthermore, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on the face of the earth, and hath determined before the time, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us. For in him we live and move and have our being, as certain also of your own poets have said, for we are also his offspring. Now note here, it says, God has made us. He's made us to be dependent upon him, for in him we live, we move, we have all things. And he has made us insufficient so that we would seek him and find him. One of the things about God is he is not only the self-existent God, but also he is a God that reveals himself. He wants us to know him. He wants us to be able to fellowship with him. He wants us to be able to worship him in spirit and in truth. And so we can feel after him and find him. Now, one of the interesting things is how that this is likened, I think, unto a baby. Whether it be a human or an animal, when they're born, what do? They feel after their mother, and they find nourishment from the mother. You don't have to teach them how to nurse. You don't have to teach them how to seek after mother. God has put that within them. But God has made us so that we would seek after him. And so he makes us with needs so that we would find him sufficient in all things. Now, God needs nothing. He has everything. He is a possessor of heaven and of earth. This is what Abraham said about God. He possesses everything. In Psalm 50, verses 10 through 12, God says, I don't need anything. And if I did need anything, I would not tell you. If I were hungry, I wouldn't say anything. Now, God has everything. He owns, as it says there in Psalm 50, the cattle on a thousand hills. In other words, everything belongs to him. So, We are insufficient. God is sufficient in himself. And then the third truth I want you to see is this, that God is sufficient for us. Look back at our text there, if you would. Once again, to 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse number 5. It says, not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think anything as of ourselves, but our sufficiency is of God. Let's think here about that God is all sufficient for us. Now, remember what we looked at in Acts chapter 17, verse 25, that he gives us all things. And God can meet all of our needs. We find in him everything that we need. In him we live and move and have all things. Now, so God is all sufficient. Everything that we need, everything that we lack, he has there for us. Now, part of God's sufficiency is the things that he has given to us. It says we need life. Well, he has given to us life. We need breath. He's given to us breath. We need food. He's given to us food. But also, there are some emotional needs that we have. For instance, we need companionship and communion. We need to love and to be loved. And so what does the Bible say? Well, God said it's not good that man should be alone. I will make a helpmeet for him. And the Bible tells us in the book of Psalms that he puts the solitary, those who are alone, into families. So part of God meeting your needs for communion and companionship is families. The Bible says, he that findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. And although God gives us families, and although God gives us husbands and wives, yet did you know that your husband or your wife cannot meet all of your needs? You know, when we're falling in love with somebody, we think, oh, if I could just have them, if I could just be with them, I would be so happy. I would be so fulfilled. And life would just be perfect. And we dream that this person that we admire, that we desire, would be all sufficient for us. Is that the case, though? Well, you can tell ask any person who's been married for a period of time, can your husband or your wife meet all of my needs? And they'll say, no. Matter of fact, they do a very poor job at meeting my needs sometimes. And the evidence that, you know, about half of people that do get married get divorced is truth that their needs, they feel, are not being met by my husband or my wife. And the truth is, they cannot meet your needs, and God has not designed that marriage would fulfill all of your needs, just some of your needs. And then we think about children. It is a natural thing to desire to have children. The Bible tells us that the barren womb can never be satisfied, and that, lo, children are the heritage of the Lord. And we'll think, you know, as a parent without children, you think, if I could just have some children, I would be satisfied. And you realize those children, when you have them, they still can't meet all of your needs. They bring happiness, they bring fulfillment. But also, I can tell you that children, if they do not walk in the ways of God, can bring great heartache and trouble as well. So your children, they are part of meeting those needs that you have, but they can't meet them all. Then, what about a church? Can a church meet all of your needs? As good as a church may be, and as good as the pastor may be, that church cannot meet all of your needs. You know, I've had people come to our church and they say, you know, this church is so friendly, and since I've started attending here, I am learning so much. You know, the Bible has become so clear to me, and I really am growing in the Lord. And then about a year later, they say, I'm leaving the church because I don't feel like my needs are being met, and the people aren't friendly to me. Now, what happened in a year's time? Well, nothing really happened as far as the church. Still preaching the same, still same people. It's that they have changed. They thought that the church was supposed to meet all of their needs. And we can't meet all of a person's needs. Now, God has given the church to us. And without a Bible-believing church, you cannot excel spiritually. You cannot thrive spiritually. You try to live the Christian life apart from a Bible-believing church, and you will not be successful in living that Christian life. And God has given to us pastors, that's a gift, along with teachers and evangelists and so forth, Ephesians chapter 4. But even they are not sufficient for all of your spiritual and emotional needs. You need to find the Lord sufficient. And you could go on and on with everything that God has given to us, and it will never be totally sufficient for you. Why? Because you need Him. And when we begin to become, in our minds, self-sufficient, what does God do? Well, He'll bring problems and trials and needs into life so that we might be drawn to Him. What did we read in Psalm 119? It is good that I have been afflicted, that I might what? Learn thy statutes. Before I was afflicted, I went astray. And so God will sometimes bring those health needs, those financial problems, those emotional needs into your life where you will what? Find Him all sufficient for you. Now, the Bible says not that we should think anything of ourselves. Now, pride is thinking more of ourselves than we ought to think. The Bible says in Romans 12, in verse number 3, that we should think soberly, according as God hath given to us the measure of faith, that we should not think more of ourselves than we ought to think. We ought to think accurately. We should not trust in our money. We should not trust in our own strength. We should not trust in our own wisdom. The Bible says that the flesh profiteth nothing. Jesus said that in John 6 and verse 33. Jesus said in John 15 and verse 5, without me ye can do nothing. And so the idea is this, that God has made us insufficient in ourselves. And if we think that we are sufficient, we are deceiving ourselves. And we are fooling ourselves. And we are not giving to God the rightful glory and praise that we ought to do. When we're unthankful, we do not acknowledge what God has given to us. Now, so we are insufficient, God is all sufficient. Let me just share with you a few scripture verses here about the sufficiency of God. How is He all sufficient for us? Well, let's first of all think that He has all sufficient grace. In 2 Corinthians chapter 12, verses 9 and 10, God told Paul that he had all the grace that he would need to endure the affliction, this thorn in the flesh. Look at 2 Corinthians chapter 9, or chapter 12, I'm sorry, verse number 9. 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. And he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee. Now, what does the word sufficient mean? It means enough. And with God, it's always more than enough. You have a problem, you have the thorn in the flesh. My grace is more than enough for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. And then Paul says, most gladly, therefore, will I rather glory in my infirmities, that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in necessities, in persecutions, in distresses, for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then am I strong. He says, I've learned that Christ is more than sufficient. His grace is sufficient. And therefore, whenever I am found weak, I have to go to him for strength. And his strength is greater than my weakness. His strength is greater than my strength. He's all sufficient. So he's all sufficient grace. Grace to endure whatever affliction we may have. He has all sufficient strength. Secondly, you're familiar with Philippians 4:13. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Now, when it says all things, it's all things that we're supposed to do. There's nothing that God would have us do that we cannot do ourselves through him. Now, he says, I can do all things through Christ. Not I can do all things through myself, but I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. He is the one that gives me that strength, that ability. Have you ever come to an end of yourself where you're ready to quit? And then you look to the Lord and you find that strength, that grace. A couple of years ago, I was able to visit Cameroon, to visit some of our missionaries there. And we had to do what they call trekking, that's hiking through the jungle. And I was with a missionary from our church, Ty Tebow, and he wanted to show me a bridge that my son had worked on the previous year. He went on a missionary trip there. And so we had about an hour before the service was to start, and we trekked there, but it was now the dry season, and Ty lost his way. He was used to it, you know, when it was a different type of season, and, you know, he was confused, and it actually took us a lot longer to get there. And this is in Africa. It's right near the equator. It was hot, and humid. So I'm exhausted. We brought some water, but I had used my water up. And we got to this river, and it was a nice-looking bridge, and then we started going back. And I was becoming faint. I was becoming weary. And I had to preach that morning. And I thought, there's no way I can make it. We were walking, and I was having a hard time trying to keep up with Ty. And so then, as I was asking the Lord, I said, Lord, I can't make it. I can't do it. And I was saying to Ty, Ty, I think you're going to have to go on without me. I was just ready to say that because I can't make it. I'm just so weary. I was sweating. And I had sweated so much that my fingers were all wrinkled. You know when you put your hands in dishwater for too long of time, they get all, that's how my hands were. There was so much sweat. Every inch of my clothing was just drenched in sweat. And I was thirsty. And where am I going to drink water? And if the water that I find, would it be usable? You know, and not make me sick. And then I thought of Isaiah 40:31. The Bible says, they that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up as wings of eagles. They shall run and not be weary. They shall walk and not faint. And I said, Lord, I'm going to claim that verse. I need you to give me some strength. I want to walk and not be weary. And so I prayed, Lord, I've got to preach. Would you give me that strength? And it's like a miracle. Immediately, God strengthened me. And I had that new spurt of energy, and I was able to keep up with Ty then. And we made it to the preaching destination. Now, we were a little bit late. They had started singing, but I was able to preach the Lord. And there was a man that was visiting there that Sunday that trusted Jesus Christ as Savior. And it was a wonderful thing. Now, I found that the Lord will strengthen us. I can do all things through Christ, which strengthens me. And so when we need strength, we can come to Him and find that strength. Well, we need grace. We need strength. We need provision. The Bible tells us in 2 Corinthians, share with you Philippians 4:19. But my God shall supply all your need according to His riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Do you need financial things? Do you find that you have some need that is there? You don't have enough money? Well, the Lord has enough money, and He can provide all of those needs. You know, the Lord, and we found this out, my family and I, we went over 40 years ago, or it would be 40 years actually this year, to Alberta as missionaries. And we went under-supported. We went on faith. And we found that the Lord has always supplied our needs. There's never been one time where I said to the family, we don't have food to eat today. Now, there was some times when we didn't have a whole lot of food, and we had to eat the same kind of food for a long time. We had one time where, in Canada, they have mail strikes from time to time, and our support was coming through the mail. We did not get support checks for almost a month. And we were just praying and fasting and saying, Lord, would you take care of us? Well, one Sunday, a family had been out to visit some friends of theirs or relatives on a farm, and they brought a sack of potatoes, about a 100-pound sack. And we ate potatoes for every meal. My wife found all different kinds of ways to prepare potatoes. And but the Lord provided for us. We never went without food. And so He is all-sufficient. My God shall supply all your need according to His glory in Christ Jesus. And then He provides all the power we need. Jesus said, all power is given unto me in heaven and earth. Go ye therefore. He has all the power we need. In Acts 1:8, He says, and ye shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. You may say, well, you know, I'm afraid to witness. Well, God will give you that power to witness. I'm afraid to preach. Me stand up in front of people. God will give you that power to preach. Many preachers will tell you that they were introverts. They were shy as children. I was one of those type of people that were shy. I did not learn to do subtraction in school in the proper grade. I believe it was grade one we were taught subtraction. Why? Because I was afraid to ask the teacher a question. And so I went for a year or two without knowing how to do it, just because I was so shy. When I was a boy, I said, I'm never going to get married. Why? Because I don't want to have to stand in front of people and kiss a girl. I'm too shy to do that. And, you know, the Lord, of course, gives you that grace to be able to do what you're supposed to do. And so He gives you power. He's all sufficient in wisdom and knowledge. Do you need to know something? Do you need wisdom to be able to do the right thing? Well, the Bible says in Colossians 2:3, in whom are hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. Jesus tells us in James 1:5, if we lack wisdom, what? Let us ask of God, who giveth to all men liberally and upbraideth not. He has all the wisdom we need. And then, to top it all off, He has all sufficient salvation. All sufficient salvation. The Bible says in Hebrews 7:25, He is able to save to the uttermost them that come to Him. Now, the uttermost means to the very far end. When God saves a person, He does a complete job. Do you sometimes say a full meal deal? You know, He does everything. He not only forgives our sins, but He also rescues us from hell. And then on top of that, He gives to us eternal life. It's not dependent upon us to keep ourselves saved, but He keeps us. And then He gives us His righteousness. And He gives to us all the spiritual blessings that we need. Everything. And He says He is the author and the finisher of our faith. It is an all-sufficient salvation. There's nothing that's lacking in His salvation. Nothing that is dependent upon us. Now, if it were dependent upon our good works or our performance, then our salvation would be in jeopardy. I would have lost it a long time ago. But He gives to us eternal life. He makes us secure in Jesus Christ. And so it is this sufficiency that we have in Christ. And so our sufficiency is of God. Therefore, go with me to now 2 Corinthians chapter 9. 2 Corinthians 9 and verse number 8. The Bible says that God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye, always having all sufficiency in all things, may abound unto every good work. When it says here in verse number 8, and God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, now always, how long does that mean? That means every moment. There's never a time that God will not be sufficient for you. And then it says, and having all sufficiency, that is every need or want that we would ever have, it's provided, that ye may abound unto every good work. That in all things, in every area of your life, you may abound. And the idea of abound, remember, it's more than sufficient. It's overflowing. And so God gives us more than what we need so that we will always be able not only to have our own needs met, but we're able to help meet the needs of other people. Somebody has said this, you can't have your cup full and running over without the saucer getting blessed. And that is, other people are going to be blessed by your life if you are finding your sufficiency in Jesus Christ. If He's causing you to abound, you're going to be a blessing and a help to other people. Now, let me just give you some practical application just in the last couple of minutes here. When you find yourself being lonely, when you find yourself being weak, when you find yourself being tempted, and it seems so difficult to overcome that temptation, when you find yourself failing, when you find yourself sick, when you find yourself in poverty, when you find yourself in confusion, when you find yourself not knowing what to do or where to go, what do you do? Well, you go to the Lord and find that sufficiency in Him. Turn with me, if you would, to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter 4. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16. The Bible says here, concerning Jesus Christ, for we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feelings of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin. What this means is this, as Jesus went through His earthly life here, He went through and experienced all the things that we need to experience. He experienced tiredness. He experienced weakness. He experienced loneliness. He experienced people turning on Him. He experienced people rejecting Him. He experienced people false accusing Him. He experienced all of these things that we experience. So he can be touched with the feeling of our infirmities. And he never once sinned in all of those things that he was tempted with. And the Bible says then, the conclusion, verse 16, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. So the truth here is this, because he's all sufficient and we are insufficient in ourselves, when we do realize our insufficiency, we come to him in time of need and we tell him exactly what it is. And we'll find grace to find help in time of need. We'll find his sufficiency. For instance, do you find yourself lonely? Well, you can go to the Lord and say, Lord, I feel so lonely. I just feel that I need someone or something. I need to feel loved. I need to feel wanted. And you can tell him that, and he will meet that need. He knows what it's like. He'll give you grace. You may feel like a failure. Lord, I've failed. I've sinned again. What do? You go to him, you confess that sin, and you find grace to help in time of need. You find that grace to go and continue on and do what's right. You may feel weak, like I felt weak in Africa. Lord, I'm so weak. I can't go on. We can go to him and find grace to help in time of need. And he'll give us that strength. He'll renew our strength. He'll give us that power to continue on. You may find yourself in poverty and financial need. And what does he say? That he will provide all of our needs. And so, Lord, I have this need. I can't meet these expenses. Lord, would you provide for me? And the Lord will provide those needs. We may find ourselves sick or unhealthy, having some physical need, and we can go to him and find that grace to help. The Lord will do one of two things. Either he will heal you of that disease or that infirmity, or he will give you the grace to endure it and make you stronger as a result. In Paul's case, he did not want to take away the thorn in the flesh because it was used to keep him humble and keep him usable, but it gave him the grace to endure that thorn in the flesh. And Paul later said, I wouldn't trade this for anything, because when I'm weak, then am I strong. I'm finding that God is all sufficient for me. When you're in sorrow, what do? Well, you go to the Lord and you say, Lord, I feel so hurt. I feel so at a loss. I'm grieving over this one that I've lost or this situation. And he will meet your need. He is the God of all comfort, that comforteth in everything, the Bible says in 2 Corinthians chapter 1. And so, whatever need we may have, if a person is lost, if they're unsaved, what do? They come to the Lord. Jesus said, he that cometh to me, I will in no wise cast out. He invites us to come. He says, come now, let us reason together. Though your sins be as scarlet, they shall be as wool. Though they be red like crimson, they shall be as snow. We can find salvation. Anyone who will come to the Lord Jesus Christ in repentance and faith will not be rejected. They'll always be accepted. He's all sufficient. As believers, we sometimes I would say actually we oftentimes fail to find our sufficiency in God. And we turn to other things to find that sufficiency. I was talking with a young man who has had, I believe he's victorious over it now, but he's had a problem with pornography. And he was confiding in me, he said, you know, I get sometimes feeling so low, I get feeling so lonely that I just come to the temptation and I go to pornography. And I said to him, Christ is all sufficient for you. You do not need pornography. And when you get feeling low, get feeling discouraged, get feeling lonely, don't go to the computer. Go to the Lord Jesus Christ and say, Lord, I need help. I need you. And you don't need that pornography. You need the Lord Jesus Christ to meet your needs. Others, they get feeling so helpless, so depressed, so overwhelmed that they turn to booze or drugs and think, I need this to get me through. I need this to help me cope. God has never designed that those should meet your needs, and they won't. They only mask your needs for a period of time. But then you awaken out of your stupor, you come off that high, and you feel that you find out that your problems are even worse now. What you need is Jesus Christ. You don't need liquor. You don't need drugs. You need Him, and He will give you the grace. He'll give you the strength to endure those difficulties and to solve those problems. Some Christians, when they get depressed and get discouraged, they turn to food. Comfort food. Overeating. You know, just to try to meet these needs. And we don't need to do that. We just need to turn to the Lord Jesus Christ. Do you see where He is sufficient in all things? And when you have a need, what do? We come boldly to the throne of grace. We don't have to feel like He's going to turn us away or He won't understand what we're talking about. He knows what we're talking about. He knows what those needs are even before we ask. But He wants us to ask, to trust Him. I've been encouraged with this thought and that we can always find everything that we need in Jesus Christ. Amen. Heavenly Father, we thank You for these truths that we've seen from Your Word. We thank You for the Lord Jesus Christ. We thank You that He is all sufficient, more than what we need, that He causes to abound unto every good work. Now I pray that, Lord, You'd help us to realize when we find these needs, and maybe there are some that have some very real needs right now. Perhaps it's physical needs, financial needs, perhaps emotional needs or spiritual needs. Lord, I pray that You'd right now help us to turn to You. Maybe there's someone here today that has need of salvation. Lord, You have the power to save. You have the power to forgive every single sin that we've ever done. And then You have the power to keep us. And some people, Lord, will not come to You because they feel that I could never live the Christian life. I pray that You'd help if that be the case, that You'd help them to realize it is You that lives it through us. You are the one who is the author and the finisher of our faith. You are the one who keeps us unto the day of redemption. And so I pray, Lord, if there be a person that needs salvation, that today they would be saved. Lord, if there is somebody that's lonely, may they find Your comfort and Your closeness. I pray that You'd, Lord, work mightily in our midst and help us to always remember these things. We do not have to sin. We do not have to be feeling that we are insufficient if we'll look to the Lord Jesus Christ. And then, Lord, if Some of us are guilty of thinking more of ourselves than we ought to, that we're proud, we're self-sufficient, we will not look to you. I pray that you'd cause us to realize that this is sin, and that we would confess it, and that we would turn our eyes upon the Lord Jesus Christ. Thank you now. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen.